Hey, everybody, great way to help the podcast out is just to spread the word. Let someone you know about the podcast. Is that too many no's in one sentence? No. Whether that's in person or on a forum or commenting on a news article, you know, let a stranger know. But just say, hey, this podcast works for me. If you're having trouble sleeping, why don't you or use your own, you know, put it in your own words. Speak from the heart, speak from the brain, speak from the body, whatever it is. But I really need your help growing the podcast. And the best way to do is just tell somebody. So thanks so much and on to the show. Hey, are you up all night tossing, turning, mind racing, trouble getting to sleep, trouble falling asleep? Well, welcome. This is Sleep With Me, the podcast that's here to put you to sleep. We do with a bedtime story. All you need to do is get in bed, turn out the lights, and press play. I'm going to do the rest. And what I'm going to do is create a safe place where you can set aside whatever's been running through your brain, racing through your brain, whatever physical things might have you up tossing and turning, whatever emotional rigors have you sighing or, you know, causing, what do they call that, the thing in between your eyebrows? You know, I'm going to try to create a safe place where you can stop thinking, you know, feel distracted from your body and defurrow your brow. You know, and maybe say, well, maybe I'll just one last sigh. Let's get one. Let's do a communal, a metaphorical sigh. You know, whether you want it to be aggressive, passive aggressive, you. That was more. That was a kind of the weary sigh. You say, well, the Scooter's teaching acting now. Oh yeah, where at? Community, you know, corner, community corner. They call he calls it the community corner. But, you know, according to the property owner, it's not. But, he teaches acting there. Oh, really? What kind of... He teaches... I forgot. He tried to think up a fancy title, and then he forgot it about size. The many size of Scooter. No, that doesn't sound like a class anyone would... Well, no one did sign up for it. I think that one blew out the mic, so I don't know. Blew out the mic. Scooter. That's Bob. Bob just sighed. It came from my subconscious and sighed. That was a smiling sigh. I don't know if anybody caught that. So maybe a juicy bit. Is there a famous Greek, you know, the porch of sighs? Isn't that something famous? But it was, you know, the porch of sighs. Or is that Superman's second? Maybe that's where Superman went, you know, when him and Lois were having a relationship. He went from the Fortress of Solitude. They had the Porch of Sighs. Because if you imagine, Superman must have sighed a lot. Because he had an unlimited power, but, you know, well, I guess I don't know that much about Superman except for the movies and some stuff, but. But, you know, then he didn't have, like, an all-seeing mind. So they would create a lot of sigh-related situations. Humans. Oh, I'd be, you know, I'm in love with Lois and Lana. And you'd be like, oh, Clark. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. So this is the podcast. I'm sorry. I'm glad you're here. I think I was trying to make a swift point there that I'm going to try to, I think we were going for a communal sigh and then I got distracted. And that's the way the podcast works a little bit is I'm going to try to take your attention and pull it in. Ideally, I'm going to pull in, at least initially, most of your attention. And you're saying, well, geez, what's this guy doing? Because I don't know. It seemed like he was going somewhere with the sighing. And now he's talking to me again. And hopefully the other parts of your brain are like, wow, this guy's really talking right to us. And I'm saying, yeah, I know you guys are on high alert. But just listen to me. I'm going to try to tell a little story tonight about Lady Witchbeard and a whole mess I managed to get her into. It would be her words, not mine. You know, all you brain bots can take off your thinking caps and put on your sleeping caps, or, you know, because I know you've all had a hard day. Your human's ready to sleep. But you guys listen to me. Your human's going to say, well, I don't know about this movie. You say, well, it's not a movie, Joan. I say, oh, well, okay. Well, you know what? Yeah, you go to sleep, Joan. We'll pay attention to this guy. He's kind of a goofball, but he seems to love us. And I say, BrainBots, I love you guys. You know, I never take controversial stances on my podcast. And I don't think there's a kid. You guys are doing your best, and you got one of the hardest jobs in that brain. And, you know, by nature, you're unappreciated. You know, because of your methods and stuff, you say, oh, man, you make humans sigh a lot. And I know all the rest of you parts out there. So I got a whole story, a whole routine I'm going to do. But, you know, don't worry. I'm going to take your human. I'm sending my voice across the deep, dark night here. And I want you to listen to it, but, you know, hold it like it was putting in your hands, which is, you know, that's one of those paradoxical paradoxes. You say, well, geez, I can't hold pudding in my hand. And I would say exactly like, if I didn't say it like that, wouldn't be able to be turned into a metaphor. So this pudding is the pudding of my stories, which is neither solid nor it could go through any fingers or could go through all, but it's warm. It has lulling, soothing tones. It's a chamomile warm chocolate pudding with some peppermint and other sleep-related stuff in there. Also some aloe vera for your hands as it drifts through them. You know, the story, so you don't have to grip the story. You could squeeze it and squish it. It'd feel pretty good. But, you know, just use that as an idea of what your attention could be. You say, okay, this guy, geez, that's an apt metaphor for his, because it is kind of like Scooter's stories are a bit drippy. And you say, drippy like water? No, like putting in a hand. And then they would say, okay, we're going to need you to come in for an HR meeting tomorrow. And I would say, well, you know, Scooter, at least you'll be rested for that meeting. And your brain bots will be, you know, so we'll be ready for it. But that's tomorrow. The key here is to get a smile on your face for you to, you know, snuggle into your bed. All is well, brain bots. I'm going to hold you guys' hands, carry you ideally across the threshold of sleep. But if for some reason you can't fall asleep, I put all my effort to both keep my self-critic at bay, but to make sure there's a decent story ahead. Now, it's not going to be riveting if you fall asleep, believe me. You know, you could re-listen to it tomorrow while, you know, if you're going to polish any shoes or iron some clothes or something, put it on then. But don't worry about missing anything. But if you can't sleep, I'll be here to escort you too. And that's it. I'm the master of the pudding story. That's it. All I want to do is help you fall asleep. You know, that's what I want. That's what I'm here for. And it's your first couple times here. Just try a podcast. That's not for everybody, I know. But I hope it helps you. And I'm glad you're here. And this, usually, then I say, and I hope I help you fall asleep. So thanks for stopping by. All right, housekeeping. We're on the web, www.sleepwithmepodcast.com. You can find older episodes there. You can find most of our older episodes also on iTunes or podcasts or Stitcher. And that's the best way to get the podcast is just make sure you're subscribed. And that way it's automatically there. I just changed, my phone died, so I'm having issues myself. Because then it's like, oh, wait, I go to leave for work and then the podcast, I found out that I was subscribed, but they weren't downloading. And I, you know, I had a connection. I said, how am I going to go to work? How am I going to get from here to work without podcasts? But I figured it out. Believe it or not, a problem that big, I figured it out. But old website. Oh, you can comment on the website. You can email me feedback@sleepwithmepodcast.com. You can, quickest ways is to get me on Twitter @DearScooter or on Facebook, Sleep With Me Podcast. I post sleep articles there, and I try to post bloopers there. I tried to, there's also should be like over the last 48 hours, a bunch of great podcasts that I listen to or people that I know that have podcasts that are great people. because there was like a podcast day, and I want to make sure I put out there some support other people that are doing great stuff. So that's there. What else? Oh, Sleep to Strange. If you need, if you don't like the intros, or you're looking for a podcast that's the same as this but without the intros. Didn't I just say that? I guess I'm in fugue state already. Or you just need extra content on Monday and Wednesday nights, go to sleepwithmepodcast.com/strange from your, if you use iTunes or iOS device, or Strange Android if you're using a Strange Android device or a normal Android device. What else? We've got a Facebook group or Facebook community. That's over at sleepwithmepodcast.com/nods, N-O-D-S. And I want to thank the moderators, Lida, Rachel L to the G, Julie C, Jennifer B, and Laura. And it's a place where you can just talk about sleep issues, make friends with other listeners, you know, rate duck pictures. No one's done that, I don't think. But say, hey, this is my, pimp my duck. Remember, do you guys, I did it. I think I talked about that in the episode, Pimping Ducks, but I don't know. It doesn't make less sense than I even it sounds. That's Facebook. What else? I want to thank Scotty and Jennifer. Jennifer, who I heard from this week. It was good to hear from Jennifer. And she was noting my friend that I used the French spelling for discipline. And I said, ooh, fromage, oui, oui, I did. So Jennifer and Scotty, they're on our artwork. They're lovely people. I want to thank them. I want to thank Chris Posty Posterson, who does our music. He's over at Sounds Like an Earful. That's his podcast. Check that out. If you're new here or you've been around a while, you might not believe this. This podcast has a lord and a lady who rule over this podcast from a castle, you know, far away. So we can pretty much do whatever the hell we want without them lording and ladying us. But they're pretty nice people. That's it's Jonathan and Shannon. And then, but just in case, we have a defrenestrator. So, you know, if we get into a situation, Nick Van Corp, Phenom 3, we could defrenestrate the Lord and Lady if necessary. And I got a few questions. Would we defrenestrate the Lord and Lady into a pool at a pool party? And I would say, I don't know. Because, you know, I don't know if I'd be invited to the castle to swim. And so in that case, probably not. But we have a lord and lady. What else? Thank you. So I want to thank Leslie Ann and Julie C. for the comments. That was Julie C. on the last sleep show. That lovely voice we all heard. So thank you, Julie C. And thank you, Leslie Ann. Over on Twitter, I want to thank EV Man. I want to thank Tammy Guns, who probably has the best Twitter handle, Nuclear Testa. I can't even get it right because I was ready to make jokes about nuclear, but it's Nuclear Tesla. And I said, I don't know how to make a joke on Twitter about the pronunciation of nuclear or nuclear. And I don't know what the proper pronunciation is either. That's, I guess, the joke's on me. But maybe one day we will be driving nuclear Teslas. So that's cool, Tammy Guns. Yeah, Muskie, if you're hearing this, give Tammy Guns a job, all right? She seems pretty damn intelligent. Corey K, I want to say hi to Miss Myra. Kevin K, a new Kevin K. I want to say hi to the old Kevin K just for the hell of it. OMG, Danny. OMG, thanks for following me. I want to say hi to Babs. I want to say hi to Paul. I want to say, oh, Paul, are you awake right now? I want to say thanks to Brian, the Boom 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 Brian, who supplied our boom. And he's just, you know, checking in. Over on Facebook, I want to say hi to Maggie D. I want to say hi to David Double R. Rar Rar. Julie G. Jennifer. Julie C. and Laura. Okay, and then over on iTunes, so nice of you guys to give us the iTunes reviews, and it really helps when people see the podcast. They say, oh, people actually listen to this, and then they listen and say, well, this guy sounds like a lunatic, but it's got reviews, And then they read the reviews, say, okay, maybe I'll keep listening. So thank you so much. It really does help. And if you want to review the show, just go to sleepmoviepodcast.com/iTunes. It'll take you right there. Thank you. But I want to thank Meta with 3 exclamation points. So Meta, yeah, who says I'm my best boyfriend. And that's pretty meta because I was like, I'm always talking about, I don't even know what meta, you know, I'm trying to figure out meta. So this is meta. I think this is meta because I'm talking about, maybe it's meta. I don't know. It's boring. If this is boring, that's definitely meta because I'm going on a tangent about someone who reviewed a meta and I'm talking, maybe, I don't know, but it makes me say, geez, what is meta? But I can't do meta material forever, you know, because then it wouldn't be meta, because I think meta means encapsulated as well. Or at least to me it does, you know, that's what, you know, when they say Oshkosh B'gosh, would it be meta if I was wearing Oshkosh B'gosh? Or, I don't know, that is a good question. Then, thank you, meta. Then Scooter's the best from Playa. Playa. So that's like when a player drinks a glass of cool water, Playa. Or Playa Water, our new sponsor. Playa Water, I say Playa. So Playa, we make Playa giggle, and then poof, it's a warning. And then Gwee Man uses a quote from, you know, someone that passed away too early. Harris, Gwee Man says the best humble brag podcast. How does he do it? Gwee Man wants to listen to the end, but that's not the point. A paradox, a true paradox. And paradoxically, it's like Jesus, those are words they say, meta and paradox in the same thank yous is making my brain hurt. So that's, you know, say, Jesus, paradoxical. That I should understand that. But thank you, Gwee Man, and thank you, Harris. I can't do. Move on to NM Ninjo. So Ninjo from New Mexico. I say, I wonder if a ninjo, I said ninjas, or is a ninjo, I guess it's like a banjo-wielding martial artist, I would guess. Or, you know, like, maybe that's like a, you know, so what'd she say? I couldn't cut it as a ninja. I became a ninjo. Or, you know, you should call yourself the ninjos. If you were, you know, banjo ninjas dressed, banjo band dressed as ninjas, ninjos. But I want to thank you. We just toured New Mexico. That's it. I said, well, geez, have you been to Albuquerque? There's a pet shop. And there's a sale, or there was in season 1 of Breaking Bad. I can't, fish tanks on sale there. But Ninjo says, by Cass Works and Fall Asleep Now. So thank you all for the reviews. Thank you for the support. And let's get on to the show. What do you say? And we last left off on Tales of Lady Witchbeard. Germ, that's the narrator, had been turned into a goat, and Germ was trying to figure out the best way like most narrators, and I totally botched the story, when your narrator is a character in it. I don't know the word for that, because it's not first or third person. It's like, or maybe it is, I don't know. But, you know, Germ's, you know, Germ had turned into a goat and then ran into a cave, a magical cave. Actually, yeah, well, yeah, there was magic, or a cave that leads to a magical part of this universe. And Germ had met a giant named DeAndre, I think. Friendly enough giant, friendly to goats, not to humans, because DeAndre was a good guardian. And beyond the cave was the flatlands. And beyond the flatlands was a magical stone. Why can't I think of that place? Quarry. And all along the way, there was different guardians to make sure that these quarried stones, I guess we did a lot of exposition, but why they were, but make sure, I guess, worthy people were bringing these quarried stones out of the quarry and back into the real world. Because they were magical stones. But Germ was a goat, so they didn't bother goats. And Germ got to the quarry. There was one stone left in Montezuma's pyramid that had just been quarried recently. And then Germ also got a backup stone that would only get too warm. And then Germ hid the main, you know, he did the switcheroo. So he hid the important stone in the cave with DeAndre the Giant. I think it was Dondre the Giant, though. Like, there's no syllable in there, Dondre. But I think it was, like, DeAndre. I don't know if it was, like, D-O-N, Dondre. I don't know, because he didn't write down his name. He's a giant, and, you know, not judging literacy of giants here. It just didn't come up. But so Germ hid the main stone, took a backup stone that looked similar. He bought it at a secondhand stone shop. You know, he had to overcome the things, but then he took that stone, brought it out of the cave where Cortez, Lady Witchbeard, Marina, and Cortez's backup conquistador army were. And he threw the stone down, but they thought it was a real stone. But then Germ knew his reputation precedes him. So he said, hey, you know, go ahead and try to get this stone back. I'm going to try to stop you from getting it to the pyramid. And then Germ headed off to the pyramid continue trying to figure stuff out, because he still didn't exactly have a plan. Well, we'll find out, you know, coming up here. But that's where we left off on this, another episode of The Tales of Lady Witchbeard. Har har. Hee ha. Yeah. That was Mr. Antonio Banderas there. Thank you, my friend. Yeah. Har. Yeah. Lady Witchbeard. Yeah, Antonio, did you have a coffee before you got here? I need to drive back to LA, my friend. Okay, he's got to drive all the way back to LA, so. Thanks so much for coming by again. If we could just work on a set time, or I could say, no, I need you here. You're doing great, Antonio. Antonio Banderas. And here's another tale of Lady Witchbeard. Why do you do that, my friend? Because I already... do you want water for the road? Okay, we'll be right back. All right, so here I am back, Germ here. And as I made my way from where we last left off to the pyramid in the sun, it was going through my mind. I was like, okay, good news, bad news, great news. Is this, so I was thinking, I was like, okay, but Lady Witchbeard will probably change her mind. Or I was trying to think, you know, I was like, I think this is going to work. Or maybe they won't get the stone to the tent. I was like, and then I said, oh man, do I have to start a war with Cortez? And then I said, okay, wait, if I start a war, am I supposed to win it or lose it? And I said, well, let's just keep moving, Germ. And I said, oh no, I'm calling myself Germ again. And I said, the phage. And I said, can you call yourself the phage? Say, come on, the phage, you pull it together. I said, that doesn't work, at least for a self-pep talk. But I say, I don't know if I should win the bet. And I said, well, I never said war. I said, I'll stop you from getting this stone. So I said, let's just go see Montezuma, then we'll figure everything out. And then I said, yeah, he's going to love that. I said, okay. And then I got there, and Montezuma was actually, you know, they knew I was coming. So he was gathered, and he seemed pretty happy to see me. A little confused, and I think, and he's like, "Oh, where's the Lady Witchbeard? Is she with her?" And I said, "I guess I interrupted him. I didn't say." And I said, "Good news." He said, "We got a new plan going," and he said, "A new plan," and I said, "We're gonna save magic. We're gonna save Mexico." And he kind of looked at me like he didn't know what I was talking about. I said, "Oh, geez, this is my ignorance again. Coming in here, offending these people." And I said, listen, Miles, I'm really sorry about you. I said, I really have some ignorance. I'm an ignorant man, and there's no excuse for it, so I'm sorry for offending you. And assuming you would know things I'm referring to and referring to, I said, I don't know what else to say other than I'm wrong and I'm sorry. And then he kind of looked at me like he, not only wasn't, and I understood, I said, geez, you don't give an apology to having accepted anyway, especially one like that. But he gave me a look like it was a distasteful apology. Or me, I said, what is he going to, and he said, where's Cortez, Germ? And I said, the phage. And he said, where in the hell is the phage? And I said, no. I said, what do you mean, where's Cortez? And he goes, well, is he with Lady Witchbeard? Has she already delivered him? And I said, that's why we have a new plan, because things got complicated. And he said, what do you mean? And I said, well, Lady Witchbeard, she did a double cross on us, Montezuma. And he said, well, what did you do to her? And I said, Cortez offered her, I don't know. I'm not sure if she's a double agent or not, but I'm not betting on it right now. And he said, so you didn't deliver Cortez to the gods? And I said, no. And he said, they're going to strike. He said, there's no time left to appease them. He said, where is Cortez? And I said, well, when I left him, he said, you left him. And I said, well, when I was forced to leave him. And he said, why were you forced to leave him? I said, well, it was one against many. And I was a goat, by the way. And then Montezuma gasped. And I said, with all the stuff that goes on here, you surprised I'm a goat? And he said, you're the goat in the pudding. And I said, well, the goat in the pudding? And he said, it was a vision I had down in the rooms. And he said, I saw a goat in pudding. And he said, it didn't make any sense to me. And I said, a pudding goat? A goat in pudding? I said, are you putting me on? He might not even have got that, or it wasn't funny. But I said, a pudding goat. And I said, he said, we don't have time for this, Germ. We need to get the other stone here. And he said, but there's some sort of army blocking our access to the cave. And he said, and they've been holding my men off, and we don't have a coat of many colors. And he said, Germ, you have the coat of many. Can you go get the stone, because we need the deterrent? And he goes, it's probably too late. And I said, well, here's a piece of good news. Cortez is coming here with the stone, so... you know, we're going to get Cortez here. I mean, he's going to bring some cannons and some conquistadors. And I said, and I have no military experience, and I know you're peaceful people here. But we have some conquistadors and cannons, too. And I guess that would tie down getting the stone here. And then all of a sudden, there was this crack of thunder. And it was that dry, rainless crack of thunder. That doesn't even seem to make any sense. That summer desert thunder, that almost feels like the sky was rendered apart, and we all just sat there, and it doesn't roll. It's a snap of thunder instead of a roll. And I said, well, geez, I said, what do you think that was? And then Montezuma waved, and then they were communicating by sign language. And he said, the gods have struck, Germ. He goes, it was a warning shot, I think. And I said, what would they have struck? And he said he was communicating with his people, you know, who were watching from the roof of the pyramid, I think. And he said, you said that Cortez has a stone, right? And I said, yeah, he's got the last stone for the pyramid, or he thinks he does. And he said, thank goodness, because the gods have struck the cave. They've destroyed the cave. They gave us access to the flatlands and the magical stone quarry. And I said, the cave destroyed it, how? And he said, he did some more sign, and he said, they've rendered it off the face of the earth. Yeah, my first instinct was for DeAndre. Unfortunately, I guess I misguided because I said, oh, man. They said, DeAndre's gone. I don't know. Gone, bonds on, phone. Like a baby. And I said, what are you doing, Germ? And they said, he said, we need to get that stone from Cortez to use it as a deterrent to get the gods or to fire on the gods. And they said, how accurate are your gods? I said, do your gods mind readers? Like, do they read minds? Like, do they know what I'm thinking at all times? Because could they be, like, tricked? You know, if someone's going to trick your gods, would that be work? And he said, of course. He goes, Germ, of course the gods, between, there's a lot of gods we have, Germ, between all of them. And I said, well, do they have a meeting? Like, do they use some sort of central communications? You know, I said, I've always wondered about this godhead thing. I said, I don't know if they have, like, a... you know, a Godhead-based database or something. And I said, never mind. And he said, well, we'll have to count on Cortez to save us from the gods. And I said, yeah. I said, hey, I'll tell you what. Maybe I should come up with a backup plan. What do you think about that? And Montezuma said, you're a pudding goat, Germ. Phage the pudding goat. And I said, well, just in case, I'll go talk. I said, you haven't seen another guy and a bunch of people, of indigenous peoples and some. He said, yeah, they're gathered to the east. And he said, they're waiting. He goes, they're waiting for a fool and a liar. And he goes, I figured that was you. But then he's like, I didn't know. I figured, and then I thought it was maybe something about, you know, I figured they were with Lady Witchbeard. And I said, well, yeah, I said, well, both of us. But I said, I'll go talk to them and I'll see what I can come up with. I'm sorry. And then I walked off. I was like, oh, shit. Like, oh, boy. And then I went back. I said, how long do you think I got before the God strike? And he said, it's not going to be long, Germ. They're probably gathering their forces. And I said, what do you think they're going to do? And he said, wipe us from the face of the earth. And I said, well, I said, they'll need some humans, though. And he said, they'll restart with river dolphin. And I said, oh, yeah. And I said, the phage, you know, something of man, hero of dolphins. I said, well, I should say, I guess dolphins wouldn't be able to sing of me because they'd be under the sea. And I said, well, I better say, I said, I'll be back. I'm sorry, Montezuma. Sorry about that. I just got distracted. I'll be back soon. So then I headed over to the east. I said, I saw Bach. He's a god or a demigod. I can't remember. And I said, I don't even know if I made his name up or if that's his legit name. But he saw me coming, and he was kind of leading I don't want to say my people, but the people I had been leading, I guess by proxy, because Lady Witchbeard was technically in charge, but the people, they were all waving and kind of cheering for me, which actually felt worse, because I said, well, geez, you guys are cheering for you know, the guy that just lost the world. But I said, okay, Germ, don't listen. And I said, Bach. And he said, Germ, we coward and thief. And I said, hey, and then the camp erupted, coward and thief. And I said, hey, what's up, man? We got to talk. And he said, that goat looks great. And he goes, that's seen a lot of action. And I said, oh, yeah, this goat's been unbelievably helpful. Oh. If I could tell you all the good it's done me. And I said, as a matter of fact, I said, have you guys gods ever been to war against humans before? And he said, I think a while back we were, but it was just against this one island. And I said, well, what happened? And he said, have you ever heard of Atlantis before? And I said, I hear it's, he said, no. And I said, oh, I said, what did they do? He said, they double-crossed us. They were supposed to deliver some, and I said, okay, anyway. They said, well, what do you guys do? And he goes, well, I'm not a war guy, so I don't have anything to do with it. He goes, I'm just a testing guy. I just test humans, you know, I come down. He goes, I do battle with you, but it's more of a test, you know, I tested you. And I said, okay. I said, how do I get up there? I said, hey, you got any advice on how to stop the gods if they're about to attack and wipe out the earth? And he said, good luck. He goes, and he said, it would be a shame because these people, he said, you know, these people are so wonderful and not uppity like the Atlanteans were. And I said, don't say that. We don't. And he said, no, you don't understand. And I said, I said, how much power's in this code? I said, could it get me to the god, you know, god, where the gods, do they have a central gathering point? And he said, for a battle of this magnitude, he said, probably, yeah, he said, they'll be working stuff out. He said, yeah, he said, no. He said, that code's low, you know, you've used all the power of the code. And I was like, okay, but I said, you don't got any, and he said, no, Jerm, I'm almost, you know, my work here is almost done. And I said, you know, if this code charge, I said, is this like a wireless charging code? Or I said, can I charge this code back up? And he said, I don't know, Jerm. I said, it's more like static electricity. And he said, what are you thinking, Jerm? And I said, Bach, I need your help on one more thing. You said you're the tester god and I need you. I need your knowledge of testing. And I said, if you really love these people more than the uppity Atlanteans, is that how you say it? Atlanteans? And he said, I don't know, Jerm. He said, they prefer to call themselves the lords and the ladies of Atlantis. And I said, all of them? He said, all of them. And I said, equally? Because that wouldn't be, and he said, Jerm, we don't, and I said, okay, let's go, I'm going to go charge. I said, you get all these people here, make sure the conquistadors keep these people safe and fed. I said, you got some people you trust? He said, oh, yeah, Jerm, yeah. And I said, meet me at the pyramid, we're going up to God Central. He goes, I said, whatever. And I ran back to the pyramid, and I said, well, Jesus, pyramid's full of magic. I should be able to charge the coat, right? And I realized that at first glance, it might seem like a ridiculous idea, but I, you know, climbed onto the pyramid. I started rolling around on it, rubbing it, you know, just in case it was either wireless charging or static. And I was, you know, just rubbing my chest, kind of like a dog, rubbing my back. Rubbing all the code everywhere, and I turned it inside out, I rubbed it. But if you were there, you would feel the power. It could have been radiation or magnetism or magic. But there was something radiating off of these rocks. And also everything I had seen. And I had to believe I could get this code charged. And then Bach was back to me. And I said, Bach, get on my back. We're going. And I said, you're a god. Can't you just reappear? And he said, no, you're going to give me a ride, Jerm? And I said, I'm going to try. And then I said, Bach, picture this in your picture where we're going in your mind. Take us there. And then boom, next thing I know, we're in some surrealistic gathering place. Open. Kind of like an amphitheater with a giant, but it just ethereal, like colors, kind of like colors that, you know, like iPhones are made out of. There's definitely some space gray, some rosé, or reflective rosé, or whatever they call it. Shimmer, you know, some shimmering shimmers. And there was all sorts of godlike figures walking around. But these were much different than the gods, you know, my cultural assumptions would have led me to believe, because these were Aztec men and women, giants and some different forms. But I was like, well, geez, that's a humanoid. And I'm sure if I had time to, but they were all getting ready for battle. These were clearly the war gods. Like some of them had, you know, grouchy looks or intense looks or big muscles, sinewy muscles, you know, speed, weaponry, cunning. So I didn't have a whole lot of time. So I said, and then I said, I said, okay, give me a god megaphone and some sort of, and then I said, hey, Bach, Bach Way, do you know, Bach A Bay, understand way? And he nodded, and I said, okay, now I just got to figure out how to do the Latin. But I communicated to him, and then I had this god megaphone, which was pretty sweet. It kind of looked like, I think, one of the clouds in Mario Kart had it, and it was the exact same. And I said, geez, if they make a Mario Kart, why haven't they made a Mario Kart movie? And two, what, could I be one of the announcers on the clouds? If we decide to make it, you know, three, what the hell would the plot would be about? Because they already made a racing game movie that was supposed to be pretty good, Speed Racer. I didn't see it, but the Wachowskis made that. But anyway, I had this god megaphone. I said, okay, oh, guys, gather around. And I had it on Babelfish mode. And they said, Babelfish goes in the receiver's eardrum. And I said, not now, Bach. And I said, oh, gods, gather, God certification, gather, two lines, please. And at first they didn't hear me, so then I turned up the volume, and then I even put on, I said, almighty effect, you know, the ones that have the buttons on the bottom, which I won't do for you. And I said, well, geez, what would be the almighty? But I said, oh, gods, gather, but with an extra, kind of like a thundering echo afterwards with some reverb. I would say charismatic reverb, which you would probably have to do a throwing rolling die for. But in this case, this thing was magical, so I didn't know, worries. Because I was fully charged, but I said, okay. And then they said, yeah, two lines. And then I started, me, I can act pretty official when I need to. So I said, everybody line right up. I said, okay, everybody straight line. And I said, you with the feathers, you can't bring those down there. And I said, what continent are you going to? And he looked like he was going to smush me. And I said, please stay in line. I'll be asking the questions here. And the next thing I know, I had a clipboard, which you can all, and I said, okay, see. I said, everybody, you guys back there, get in line. Because there was a couple of people that were like, I'm not getting in line, I'm a war god about to strike. So then I said, I put the megaphone aside. I said, please get in line now. I said, this is a serious business here. War, good gods, y'all, get in line. And absolutely no excuses. Don't make me say it again. Ugh. And then everybody got in line. And I said, okay, all you guys, what are you guys lined up for? And then they said, this is the war god certification line. And whether you're certified to go into battle or not. And I said, okay, pretty straight line. And I said, who are you guys going down to do battle with? And they said, humans. And I said, why? And they said, because it promises, they made a deal or something. I said, because they were, I said, one at a time. And I said, that's enough. And I said, what's one of the first, I said, so these humans, they couldn't stand a chance with you with their, weaponry and stuff, right? And they laughed. They said, most of them aren't even warlike. And I said, well, geez, maybe we should just take out the warlike. And I said, no, that wouldn't be right either. Take out the warlike continents. That's no good. And I said, I got to save everybody, I guess. And I said, okay, so you can't be, humans don't stand a chance with you physical against physical. I said, what about cunning? And they just laughed. And then the most cunning god, you know, he was all slick. He said, there's no god, humans, that could be as cunning as us. And I said, exactly, I could not certify any gods for battle. That would be, tricked by a human, clearly, right? Were we in agreement? I said, there's no way I could pass anyone for certification that would be tricked by a human. I said, right? And they said, yes. And I said, by the power of some god magic up here, you're all decertified for battle. And then whoosh, 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 all the guys started frowning because they realized it. And I said, that's right, you've been fooled. You've been had by a human. And I said, well, it just looks like the war's off. And I said, geez, we could work stuff. And then it probably wasn't the best. And they said, who are you? And I said, the phage. The phagey. And they said, the phage? I said, the phagey, the phagey. And I said, that's my official birth name, the phagey. But they were also, and plus the god magic just kind of dispersed them back to, their lives of, ultimate pleasure and power. So all the guys started to disperse. And then Bach was pretty happy, but I was like, oh boy. I said, these guys are going to be pretty mad at me. And I said, I still got to figure out. I said, Bach, who was the big leader gods? I said, who's the gods that correspond to the only god? And I said, who's in charge? And Bach looked around. And Bach was like, you're right. And all of a sudden, Sundarous Steps approached. And I said, oh boy, here comes, the serious war gods. Or, it sounded like a thunder god was coming. And obviously, thunder god had struck in what, a cave. And then across the strange, fuzzy universe we were in, these two giant gods, a male and a female, walked towards us. I said, are they brother? I said, are they the trickster? And then I didn't know if they were brother and sister or husband and wife. And clearly I wasn't about to ask. I know I'm smart enough not to ask that question. And I said, okay, Bach. I said, get ready. And Bach kind of walked off and acted like he was doing something. And they walked right up and they said, what is the meaning of this? And then the female goddess, she snapped her fingers and my megaphone disappeared. And they said, where are all our warriors? And I said, well, they were decertified for battle. They were deceived by a human. And they said, what human? And I said, would you believe it? It's me, Phagey. And I was like, man, I don't know what lot. And they said, silence. And I said, oh, these are serious. Head gods. And he said, what did you mean, decertified? And I said, well, I deceived them so that they couldn't go into battle against humans. And I was hoping that we could come to some kind of agreement or understanding or something, So you guys seem like the big shots, at least in the war community up here. I said, is there a peace god? Is there an equal amount of peace gods? Or you guys like the... And they just chuckled, and I said, are you sure you're not, you sure your guys are not human? Because this is definitely how we do things, too. And then I said, well, Jesus, maybe they are creators or something in their likeness or whatever. And I said, I'd love to work something out with you, because I really don't want to see all these humans, And I said, I don't know what the inner, if you have inner universal, transspatial agreements here, because I got a universe somewhere else I don't want messed with. And they said, what are you speaking about, human? And I said, I'm just here on behalf of the people of Earth, or this world, to try to work out an agreement with you all. That's fair for everybody. Though I don't exactly, now that I'm talking to you and looking at you, I don't know how we could be making a win-win situation, but I'd love to try. I said, didn't you guys like it the way you've been doing it? They said, we were promised the one who will destroy the balance. And I said, oh, Cortez? And they said, yes, we must have Cortez before he destroys the balance. And they said, are you talking about the magic or... And they said, you don't understand. And I said, well, I'm doing my best to try to understand, you know, to help you guys get what you want to need. And he said, stop with that language. And I said, okay, I won't. So, you know, I'm trying to just get to yes, you know, getting to yes. I've never been good at it. I figured, who better to teach me than two wonderful gods? And I said, well, Jesus, so you want this Cortez so he doesn't disrupt the balance, right? And they said, exactly. I said, well, what would you do if I brought him here? And then they showed me like a little video, a magic video. And I said, oh boy, I can't give him Cortez. And I said, well, what if I had my own little plan to restore, you know, keep the balance? I said, could you go on? And they said, we don't try it. And they started yelling at me. And then I coughed. I said, And then I had to cough a few times. I don't want to do it on mic, but you know, fake coughing. And then Bach came by, and I don't know if he had put a cloud on his face, but he kind of made himself look older and professorial. And he had done some, you know, acting classes. I said, you know, this is how you do it, buddy. And he said, what is it? He was acting all, and he was just looking at the gods and looking at me, and he had a robe action going. And he said, what is going on here? And then the guys said, they were trying to look, you know, they were the top guys. So they don't know every other god by heart. So they were looking at him, and then they were like, who are you? And he said, I'm the master of tests. I've been, when are we striking against the humans? What's going on here? And I said, we're about to stop the strike on the humans, buddy. So just tone it down. We're working on a little compromise, consensus building. And he said, that's ridiculous. And I said, don't make me smote you. Believe it or not, even though I'm human, I have the power to smote. And then they all had a laugh. And I said, I don't want anyone messing with any humans, especially these humans right below us. They've been messed with enough. And I don't want anybody messing with magic. And I don't know how much we should be messing around in these big, but you, and they said, you're the one messing around. And then me and Bach had worked out a routine, so I took the magic that was left in the coat, used it to fire some beams at Bach and smoted him. Now, don't worry, it was totally, I don't know what happened because I was just alive, but. I think he's fine, but he was great. He said, well, and then he dematerialized the acting to do that. And then I cracked my knuckles. I said, I said, that's one god down. I said, do we need to get, you know, do I need to get, you know, take this any further with the rest of you? And he said, who are you? And I said, I'm the goat in the pudding. And they actually knew what that was when I said, I didn't know it. And I said, right, you know, swim, pudding goat, swim, right? And then they didn't know. And I said, well, I'm here to muck, you know, to goat up the pudding. Or we could work stuff out. And then I think they tricked me because they looked back and forth at each other, exchanging glances. And they said, you think you're pretty good deceiver, don't you? And they said, you need to pay for the price of your deceptions. You need to be responsible. And then, I mean, I got a stomachache. I said, oh, boy, you guys are sound. I said, are you sure one of you is not the teacher god? I said, oh, do you have, a spear of shaming in one of your satchels? And they said, humanity's fate rests on you, Fagey. And I said, well, at least they can't file any, you know, actual charges against me. And they said, return to Earth and resolve the problem how you see fit. And I said, maybe I'll resolve you. And then they just laughed again and they said, go back and fix things if you can and keep the balance. And, you think you're something, I don't know. They started telling me, but you think you're a god, you can't play god. But I think the gist of it was they were sending me back to not screw up. And they said, I think they said I had it. Oh, boy. They think I might have, like, circumvented the numbers or something. Either 4 days, it was a 48 hours or 4 days. I think it was fortnight? No, that's too long. But basically, I had to get back to, I think it was seven, fortnight. I think it was a fortnight, maybe. But they said return to Earth and fix things, or there'll be no Earths to return to. And they said, what the hell are you guys going to do then? And then I think they said they knew about Netflix and stuff at this point, and they had backed it all up. So I said, oh, geez, that's not good. But that's probably as good a place as any to stop some return to Earth and try not to say, geez, I wish, I guess I saved Earth temporarily. Ideally, I wouldn't have screwed the stone situation up so we could just blast the gods. And I still didn't quite know. But I said, well, geez, I had you keep trying to figure stuff out. I said, well, it'll be fine, I hope, ideally. But you'll know. Well, you won't know. So that'd be good. You won't even know. You say, well, geez, that's it for our universe. You wouldn't even know that. So if you're hearing this, you're fine. And just go on the assumption that you're fine. So germ, phagophagy resolved everything. You know, drift like a goat on a boat on a sea of pudding. So gelatinous, but just liquidy enough to have buoyancy. A goat just like one of those, you know, George Washington or something. Or, you know, just like Jan Martel would say something about the goat in the boat. If him and Dr. Seuss wrote a book about goats and boats. Pudding goat. And then the pudding goat gets a little warm. Jumps in the pudding. Swim, pudding goat, swim. Swim through the sea of softness, pudding goat. Oh, backstroke. Nothing like a pudding goat doing a backstroke. So leisurely as the sun sparkles off the pudding. Non-dairy pudding, so no worries about curdling. Just curdling of goat's toes or hooves. Ah, so nice. Floating in the pudding or floating. Bobbing. Yes, bobbing. Good night.